Please turn with me this evening to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and I'm reading verse 41. Luke 8, 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. So we're looking this evening at this incident with Jairus and the healing of his daughter, the raising of his daughter from the dead. And my title for tonight is Only Believe, the words that the Lord spoke to Jairus there in verse 50. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Well, this is a remarkable miracle of Christ, yet another. Every miracle that he did was tremendous. But here again, we see him raising one from the dead. And how did he do it? Well, just with two words. Made, arise. Little, a child, arise. Just two simple words. Life came into that body. He did it on two other occasions with dead people. Again, in a very simple way. The Lord doesn't have to use great mantras. He doesn't have to use great long sentences and paragraphs and essays to pray for ages and ages. In just a very few words, he speaks life into the dead. Lazarus was another one who was laying in the grave for 4 days. And the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. That's it. And then on another occasion, there was a young man who was being carried to his burying place. And again, the Lord touched the bier and said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. So simple and yet so powerful are the Lord's words that he can bring life into dead bodies. But it's a picture, of course, of how he gives life to dead souls, that Christ has the power to make alive those souls which are dead in trespasses and sins. But oh, friends, what mighty things the Lord can do with a word, not only raising the dead, but so many other occasions, isn't it? When you read the Gospels again and again, be ye clean, so short a phrase, and the leper was made clean. He said to the storms, be still, and the storm stopped their raging on so many other occasions. But here it's the healing, or rather the raising from the dead of this young girl who had died. But our focus tonight is not really going to be on this young girl, but on her father. We're going to see how the Lord worked in his life and brought him to himself, and how it was so necessary for him, even in the face of a very traumatic situation, to lay hold and keep a hold of his faith in the Lord himself. Well, verses 41 and 42, we just read that. The Jairus comes and he falls down before the Lord, falls down at his feet, beseeching him to come and heal his dying daughter. First thing to say, friends, is that it was a crisis which brought Jairus to Jesus. His darling daughter is dying at the point of death. Any moment now, she can be taken from him. He's tried everything he can, no doubt, to bring about a cure for her, but nothing's worked. No cure has been found. She's in a precarious position. She's weak. She's on the verge of death. She's knocking at death's door. He knows that. And Jairus, for once in his life, is helpless. And he can't do anything about this situation. And he longs that he can, but this is a situation out of his control. Oh, he read that he was a ruler of the synagogue. So he must have been a capable person in some measure to reach such a position. He must have been one who was able to deal with problems between people or problems that had arisen in life. And maybe in the synagogue when there were issues to be dealt with, well, he could find a solution. He could see a way through, a way out, a way to deal with those problems because he knew and he had maybe some ability to do these things. But here is a situation he cannot see a way out. He has no influence over it. And in desperation, he seeks out Christ and he comes and falls at the feet of Christ and pleads with Christ to come to his home and heal his child. It was a crisis that brought him to fall down before the Savior. And friends, it may be like that with us. It may be a crisis in our lives that is necessary to bring us to seek the Lord. It doesn't have to be. Perhaps if we respond to the initial calls of the gospel, perhaps if we respond to the Lord's gracious invitations straight away, maybe we won't need a crisis. But if we carry on in unbelief and refusing to turn to him, it just may be that the Lord will use a crisis to make us realize, you need me. You need to seek me. You need my help, and you need especially spiritual help in your life. Oh, friends, before we are converted, before we know the Lord, we're so independent of God. We live such independent lives from him. Our faith is not in God. You say, our faith is in myself. I believe in myself. I can handle anything. Whatever life throws at me, well, I can handle it. I don't need God in my life. I don't want God in my life. I especially don't want a holy God who hates sin and is going to point out sin in my life and is going to tell me to live in a different way. I don't want that kind of a God in my life. I want the freedom. I want self-determination. I want the freedom to do as I choose. Who is God? Why should I listen to him? What has he done for me? All these things that I've achieved in life is by my own effort. I studied hard. I worked hard. I gained the position that I'm in now by my own efforts. I've come to these things, this place, by myself. I can manage perfectly well. I can manage perfectly fine without God. God hasn't helped me. What's he done for me? Why should I thank him? Why should I believe in him? Why should I obey him? All these things that we go through our minds. Maybe we don't say it, but this is the kind of attitude, friends, we have. Why should I pay any attention to his rules? Who is he to tell me how to live my life? So we feel that we don't need him. I don't need God. I don't need him interfering in my life. I want freedom to do as I choose. And so, friends, that's ours, isn't it? We will not relate to God before conversion. We will not pray to him. We will not thank him. We will not feel any sense of indebtedness to him. And yet he has done so much for us. Yet he is the one who has given us our abilities and our strength and our health and so much that we have in life. But this is how often we think before conversion. How then can God get our attention? How can he make us realize that we need him and we need forgiveness from him and we need to be right with him? Well, he often sends a crisis of some kind into our lives. Some situation that will make us realize, I need to pray. I need a help outside of myself. I just don't have it in me to handle this situation. It may be a sickness in our own lives or our family's life, as in this person's case. It may be a temporal loss. It may be something goes terribly wrong with our business and we lose everything. And then we are brought to realize, I haven't got the ability as I thought I was. I'm not as great as I think I am. Maybe that will bring us to the feet of Jesus. What will it take, friends, to bring us to the feet of Christ and to beg him for help and mercy and forgiveness in our life? A dying child is what brought Jairus to fall down before Christ's feet. Oh, friends, this is how God often works. It's for our good that he does it, and to show us that we need a relationship with him, to show us that he is our creator, and we were made to relate to him and to walk in obedience to him. If I could just tell you of a lady that I know, not in this country, another country far away, but something very similar like this happened to her. And she had a son, but a son was very sick physically. He was okay. Mentally, there were issues there. And she was desperate for some sort of cure for her child. And she went to the doctors and found no help. But then she started praying. Then she started going to church. Then she started hearing the gospel as a result of her son being so ill. And through that terrible crisis which happened in her life, she was brought to faith in Christ. Her son is still the same. Her son was never cured of his illness. But she, through that, was brought to see what she needs to be born again. She needs to be converted to God. And it was the crisis that led her to seek the Lord in the first place. That's how the Lord so often works. But then look on. The Lord agrees to go to this man's house and to heal his child. But along the way, there is this interruption. And we read of this sick woman who'd been terribly sick for 12 years with this issue of blood, coming secretly and touching the edge of Christ's garment, the hem of his garment. Well, we won't go into all the details about this, but only to say that this would have taken a lot of time. This would have consumed precious time. Already the crowds were thronging around Jesus and his disciples and this man, no doubt. And that would have slowed down the pace and the time it would have taken to get to the man's house. And now this incident happens and they are slowed down even further. And you can only imagine that this father, well, he would have been so anxious. He couldn't say anything. He wouldn't have been polite to say anything. But he just has to stand and watch. But one can only imagine he must have been so anxious and worried. Oh, this is an interruption. He must have said to himself, we can do without. Every moment counts. Speed is of the essence. I must get the Savior to my house as soon as possible. But all these things are now hindering him. This interruption, he feels, well, there'll be no help to me. But it is actually. This interruption is something that's going to work for his good and something that's going to help his faith and be an encouragement to his faith. Because when the news does come through just moments later from his servant that his daughter is dead and trouble not the master, he says, well, the Lord says to him, fear not, only believe. Believe only. And in a way, the Lord is saying, look at what's just happened. This miracle which has just occurred is going to be an encouragement to him, to his faith. Look at what I've just done. I've just healed this woman who was also dying. I've just healed this woman who found no cure from a doctor. Believe only. Hold on to that. Let your faith hold on to this miracle that I've just done. And in the same way, your daughter will live again. Well, friends, you may be seeking the Lord here tonight. Maybe you've been seeking him for some time, you've been praying to him to change you, and nothing has happened. And maybe things have gotten worse, and maybe you're even feeling a little bit more distant from him than you did a few weeks ago or a few months ago, and nothing seems to be happening with you. Well, don't give up. Still go on believing. Maybe then you will hear of other people who have been saved, other people whose lives Christ has touched and saved. Or you read maybe a Christian testimony of how God has changed that man or that woman and brought them to faith in him and completely transformed their lives. Friends, when you come across these things, take them as encouragements for you. This is what God can do in your life. If you haven't read testimonies, read those testimonies. Hear from other believers what Christ has done for them. And take that as an encouragement to you that he will do the same for you also. Oh, if God did this for that man, then surely he can do the same for me. If God changed and transformed that woman's life when all she did was believe in Christ and pray to him, well, he can do the same for me. You take those encouragements for yourself. Friends, God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't look at your position in life. He doesn't look at your status. He doesn't look at how you speak. He doesn't look if you're a Cockney or a Geordie, whether you're British or Chinese or Indian. He doesn't look at these things. He doesn't look at which class you belong to or what kind of clothes you wear or how big is your bank account before he blesses you. He only looks to hear what you pray. We read, he tells us about himself that he is rich to all who call upon him. He hears the cry of all who call upon him. Only thing he asks is that we come humbly before him. We don't put away pride. We fall at his feet like this man did and cry to him, Lord, have mercy upon me. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, change me. This is it, friends. Oh, he does so much to help us to come to himself. And he's given us that help even in this testimonies of other people. Well, as we said, Christ was speaking to this woman, then this servant came with this terrible news that the daughter has died. Trouble not the master. And the Lord said in verse 50, when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only. And she shall be made whole. Believe in me, he says. Even in the face of this seemingly impossible situation, who can deal with death? I can do it. Even in this situation, I can work. Trust in me still, he says to the man. You've just witnessed this miracle. You've just seen what I can do. Let your faith hold on to that. Your faith in what I can do, and that your daughter shall be made whole. Oh, friends, this is what God requires from us. This is what the Lord looks to from us. Only believe. Believe only in him. This is what Christ requires from each one of us, that we believe in him, that we trust in him. He doesn't... We need forgiveness. We look to him for it. We need a changed life. The Lord doesn't ask us to change ourselves. He doesn't ask us to transform ourselves, to look within for some power to change ourselves. No, friends, he says, look to him. Come to him. Only believe in him. Come to him with that prayer. Come to him with faith. And trust him that he will change you. And he does. He does miraculously. So many of us here can testify to this simple way. We look away from ourselves, and we look by faith to Christ, and we trust in him. I need forgiveness. I believe in him for it. I need spiritual life. I don't have these things. How may I obtain them? Well, by exercising faith in Christ. It's in him, friends. It's there. All I have to do is believe it. I believe the things that he says about himself. I believe that Jesus is divine. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, equal with God. We believe, I say to myself, I believe these things, Lord, about you. I believe in the cross. When I look at the cross, I don't just see a man dying. I don't just see a person giving up his life for others. I see more than that. Faith sees Christ satisfying God's justice. Faith sees Christ dying to take away the sins. Faith sees Christ dying on that cross as a substitute in his place. That there the Lord Jesus was dying and bearing the punishment that should have fallen on me. Faith sees that and believes in it. Faith sees that it wasn't just an act of love that was happening on the cross. It was that tremendous act of love. But it was an atoning work that Christ was doing on behalf of all who put their trust in him. And faith sees that when it looks at the cross. It doesn't just look and weep and cry because somebody died such a cruel death. It's more to it than that. Faith sees he was bearing the punishment for my sins. God punished him instead of me. There he was my substitute. I ought to have been there. I ought to have suffered the punishment, but he took it in instead of me. And he trusts, faith trusts in what Christ has done, that Christ satisfied the justice of God. Oh, friends, we say it again. I try and say it simply so that I hope you can understand it. How can I be saved? How can I be a child of God? Well, you recognize that you are a sinner. You recognize that you have nothing, no merit before God. You're dependent on him to be merciful to you. And you repent of your sins, and you put your trust in Christ and in his atoning death. You accepted what he has done personally for yourself. It's not just, Lord, I believe in the death of Christ, but Lord, I believe you died for me. I accept what you've done on my behalf. You must do this, friends. It would be no use to you to know that Jesus died on the cross. You must take what he has done by faith for yourself. You must place your own trust in him. Well, we see as the Lord arrived at the home, and there were all these professional weepers weeping and wailing, and the Lord said to them in verse 52, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they all laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Well, he put them all out, and he just took with him those three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and the parents were with him into the room. And then we read how he just so gently took the maid by her hand, as if he was just going to awake her out of her sleep. And he spoke gently to her, "Maid, arise, child, arise." A gentle word, but also a very powerful word. For in verse 55, her spirit came again, and she arose straight away. Well, friends, as we've said, this is not only what Christ does for those who are dead, but this is what Christ can do for your dead soul. All he has to do is say the word, and you will be made alive spiritually. With a word, he can give you new life. With a word, he can make your dead soul alive so that you can then relate to God. Without this spiritual quickening, you can't relate to God. You can't know him. You won't be aware of how great his love is and his kindness. But once he quickens you to life, then you become so aware of his presence, and he becomes so real to you, and his kindness is so felt in your life, and you will know answers to prayer and so much more. He will teach you such wonderful things. Oh, friends, you will walk with God when our souls are quickened to life again. This is what Christ does for all who will believe in him. The girl was returned to her parents and to a believing father whose faith is rewarded. Oh, friends, just as Christ raised this young girl from the dead, he can give spiritual life to your dead soul. Do you believe this? Do you believe he can do it for you? That he can raise your dead soul? Oh, friends, if a bank says to you, put all your money, put all your life savings, everything that you have, put them with us, leave all the money with us, we will take care of it, it will be safe. If you believe the bank, well, you'll put all your money with them. If a school says to you, put your child in our school, we'll give him a good education, we'll look after him while he is here, we'll protect him, we'll take care of him, we'll prepare him for adult life in the best possible way. Well, if you believe the school, you will put your child, isn't it, in the school. If your friend says to you, well, this Wednesday, I'm treating you to a big meal for free. I don't want you to pay anything. Just be ready on Wednesday, and I'm going to take you out to a lovely meal. Well, if you believe your friend, you will get ready, isn't it? On Wednesday, you'll be there, ready and waiting, looking behind the curtain to see when he comes, so that you can rush out to meet him, as it were, because you believe him. But in life, we're always expressing faith in some way or other. Now, when Christ says to us, friends, believe in him, and when he says to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you believe him? Do you believe him? If you believe him truly, you will come. You will come and you will find his word to be true. When he says again, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will never cast out. I will never shoo away such a person. If a person comes to me, I will receive that person. Do you believe him, friends? Only believe. Only believe his words. If I believe that he will receive me, then I will come. I will come to him. Oh, friends, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come tonight. Don't delay. He always keeps his word. Believe what he says. Believe in what he has done. Come repenting of your sins. Come trusting in him, believing in him. Lord, I believe. Say that to him. Come yielding your life to him, and he will bless you for sure. And he will save you, and he will give you eternal life. Well, let's pray together. Oh, Lord, we thank thee that we may come to thee. We thank thee that thou hast graciously invited us to come. And, Lord, help us, even we pray tonight, to come to thee, to believe and trust in thee. And, oh, Lord, to find even in our own life that thy word is true and is right. Oh, Lord, bless us, we pray. Bless us with life. Speak to our dead souls and grant that we may live and know a living relationship with thee, the true and only God. We ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. We sing together our final hymn, 396, Jesus, I Will Trust Thee, 396.